600 American servicemen and women have died in the war in Iraq, many of them from the nation's smallest counties and towns, places like Los Fresnos, Texas, Lena, Wisconsin, Warren, Pennsylvania, and Hume, Missouri. In fact, troops from rural America are dying at twice the rate of troops from cities and suburbs. We'll explore this phenomenon, beginning with a story of sacrifice, the story of Private First Class Jerick Petty, who died in Mosul December 10th. His mother, Diane, remembers her son this way.
He was a very bright young man. He had an awesome sense of humor. He was protective of his sisters.
He was protecting them from potential suitors?
Yes. April, when she started into high school, did not have a date the whole time she was in high school because he felt that there was nobody there good enough for her.
That was in Hawthorne, Nevada, a high desert town of 3,300, about 2 hours south of Reno. It's among 170 hometowns which have lost native sons and daughters. They're dying at a rate 30% higher than expected, given their proportion in the general population. That's according to Robert Cushing, a Texas sociologist who's been analyzing American military deaths in Iraq for the Austin American Statesman newspaper. So what you found essentially was that the smaller a county's population, the higher the death rate might be?
Yes, absolutely, because if you do the sums, you're getting a death rate of about 48 per 1 million in those small counties, as opposed to about 6 deaths per million coming from the urban areas.
Cushing focuses on what the Census Bureau calls non-metropolitan counties, places beyond the reach of urban and suburban populations. These are places that are also suffering economically. They've lost population with layoffs in manufacturing or declines in mining, logging, farming, or ranching. Some of that fits Hawthorne, Nevada, where Diane and Gerald Petty raised their son, Jerick.
Small one stoplight, 1 mile by 1 mile town. They would rollerblade through town and, you know, they did silly things like they dyed their hair with Kool-Aid and walked through the El Cap just to kind of give everybody a little shock.
Is there much opportunity in Hawthorne, Nevada for young people?
No. There's not much opportunity for older people in Hawthorne.
They had a local casino. They had a casino, and it's the world's largest army ammunition base. It used to be. So they were laying off constantly there. The casino I worked at, and then we had a bunch of gold mines. But the price of gold went down so far that it no longer made it feasible for the gold companies to make a profit. So that laid off people, which filters down to the casino. And those were like the three major places that provided employment for people. I mean, you could go to work at McDonald's, but that's okay while you're in high school, but you're sure not going to support yourself afterwards. So people had just been boarding up their houses and leaving them.
The Petties moved to Idaho. Their son, Jerick, married a woman he met there, Tiffany, and worked construction in Idaho Falls. He was 25 years old with an infant son and a toddler daughter when the contracting work dried up.
With the economy being bad, you know, they laid a lot of people off. And there in Idaho Falls, there's really not a whole lot for people either, you know. So he even resorted to going to working at McDonald's, you know, to try to keep food on his table for his family.
Fast food pay wasn't enough, so Jerick joined the Army. He left for Mosul, Iraq the day after Thanksgiving, and 2 days after his arrival, as he directed traffic at a newly reopened gas station, he was killed by gunfire from a passing car. Jerick Petty became number 450 on the list of American military dead. 2 weeks before, Bill Bishop of the Austin American Statesman began reporting the fact that so many war dead came from small towns. He attached names and faces to the statistics, traveling to the high plains of West Texas, along Interstate 20, through cotton and oil fields, turning off into the town of Cahoma, population 900.
And they all had the same story, that their kids were bright, they graduated from high school, they didn't have a place to get a job locally, farming was not an opportunity for them. The oil and gas industry wasn't hiring. They didn't have the money to go to school in the city. And instead of getting in trouble on the roads in rural Texas, they decided to join the Army. And the story was pretty uniform, and so was the patriotism of the people there and the sense that their kids had done the right thing.
Does this fact of disproportionate deaths among people from rural places have any political consequences that you can think of?
Well, I think it might have moral consequences more than anything else. Our question going in was, well, the nation is at war, but is the whole nation fighting? And what we found is that it's not.
And what's the moral issue to you there?
The moral issue is, if the whole nation goes to war, shouldn't the whole nation be part of the fighting? And the communities in the United States aren't sharing equally in the cost of the war in Iraq right now.
The stories by reporter Bill Bishop and the numbers from sociologist Robert Cushing have attracted attention on Capitol Hill. Ike Skelton is the ranking Democrat on the House Armed Services Committee and represents 25 rural counties in Missouri. His staff did its own research, confirming the disparity and Skelton's own anecdotal experience.
You know, the other day I was in a small town, spoke to a high school in the southern part of Missouri, and a very able young lady was introduced to me as the student body president. And there were only 17 in her graduating class. And obviously she appeared to be a very able, capable young lady, and I asked where she was going when she graduated. She said, "I'm going to the Army." And obviously she could not afford a college, and she's going to go to the Army and take advantage of the GI Bill and then go to college, and I'm very proud of her for doing that.
But Skelton also believes that the service and the sacrifice should be more equitable, and the only sure way to accomplish that, he says, is with the return of the military draft.
People from all walks of life, rich, poor, middle income, would be subject to a draft. But like I say, politically and as well as a practical matter, it's just not going to happen. It would not sell across the country because the all-volunteer force is working. People who are in the uniform are there because they want to be. So what I would hope is that there would be a concerted effort with recruiters to show the young folks in every walk of life the benefits of serving, the pride that goes with it, and the ability to come back home and say, "I've served my country."
Do you have evidence or do you have a sense that recruitment targets rural people?
Well, there's an old saying, you pick cherries where the cherries is, and those that are more prone to join the military, as we see by the statistics of those who are in the military and sadly by the statistics of those that have been killed in Iraq and Afghanistan, come from small-town rural America. So that's where many of your recruiters zero in, because that's where the potential soldiers are.
In a statement provided to NPR, the U.S. Army says it does not appear that small-town America is overrepresented in the Army recruiting process. All this will get more scrutiny from the General Accounting Office. The GAO was called in by Congressman Charles Rangel of New York, the ranking Democrat on the House Ways and Means Committee, and an advocate of restoring the draft. Rangel wants a strict accounting of which kinds of places have how many people serving and dying, and he wants that sorted by race and per capita income as well. But the parents of Private First Class Jerick Petty are proud of the fact that rural America bears a greater burden.
If we got higher numbers, that just means that we have more people here that are more concerned about everyone else. You know, whether we like it or not, that's the way it is, and we support them and we're proud of them. You know, that they're carrying the country, basically. That they're selfless in their endeavor to keep the American way.
It's the nature of joining the service. I realize that they join the service so that they can make a living for their families and have a sense of pride in what they're doing. But they know when they sit down and make that decision, they know the possibilities of going to war. I know my son did. You know, he didn't want to go over there and die, but he knew of the possibility that it could happen. And he took that responsibility and the knowledge of that, and he went.
Diane and Gerald Petty spoke with us from their home in Meridian, Idaho, with the help of member station KBSU. Photos of the Petty family, along with Robert Cushing's statistics, are on our website at npr.org.